Today's message, turn with me to 1 John chapter 4. Turn with me to 1 John chapter 4. We're going to be looking at verses 7 through 21. 1 John chapter 4. And today we're going to be talking about trust. Woohoo! A great topic, trust. So turn with me. 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 through 21. Now let me start off here. We're going to be talking about trust from a lot of different angles. And I know some people in here today, you may have been really burned by people, or somebody's done something wrong or harmful. You could say even criminally wrong. And some of you have no issues with trust. Some of you are good. You trust everybody. Man, you're good. Life's been great to you. Man, you're just an open book. You trust everybody. So today, as we come to this message, be mindful of where your fellow neighbor is out on this spectrum. And be mindful where you are at, okay? And let your heart be open to what God's word says about trust, okay? But a few fun memes. You guys know I love a good meme. The list of people I trust. You ever been in that point in your life? Yeah. Right? Next up, let me get going here, is two reasons I don't trust people. I don't know them. Well, that's wisdom. And I do know them. That's wisdom too, right? There. Next up, never trust someone whose name starts with A, B, C through the letter Z. Now, we make fun of this, right? I don't know if you've seen some of these memes, and right? They're funny. But however, I want to submit to us today that there's a real sickness in our culture of trust right now. There's a real sickness of a lack of trust, of trust in anybody or anything, you know? I'm one of our Woodbury County supervisors, and I meet people all the time that are like, I don't trust you, I don't trust Woodbury County, I don't trust the government, state of Iowa. I mean, conspiracy theorists like times 100. I'm like, whoa, you don't trust anything. Wow, that's sad. But trust today. Trust. I'm going to show you a video here, so Kent, make sure the audio is up here. And we're going to talk today about love always trusts. In the famous love portion, talk about love in 1 Corinthians 17, where it defines what love is, we know this one little verse that says, love always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. But I want to focus today on this, love always trusts. How many of us live up to that one? And secondly, what does that mean? That's a hard one. Love always trusts? How many of you, you've been burned by somebody? Raise your hand. Probably all hands go up, yep. How many of you had somebody lie to you, not pay you what you're worth? I mean, you can name the situation. Done something wrong. Did you dirty, we'd say in the street language, right? But love, Scripture says we're love always trusts. And if we're here today and we're saying, you know, Dan, I've been transformed. Jesus has redeemed my life. I've moved from death to life. Well, Jesus says love protects, it trusts, it hopes, perseveres. So what does that mean practically for us as the body? So I'm going to show you a little video here. This is the 1986 meeting with President Reagan and Mikhail Gorbachev, you know, the former leader of the Soviet Union. It came to the White House, and this is the famous quip. You probably know where we're going with this. So, Kent, is it up? Okay, here we go.
The importance of this treaty transcends numbers. We have listened to the wisdom in an old Russian maxim. Though my pronunciation may give you difficulty, the maxim is, dovayai no provayai, trust but verify.
На каждой встрече вы это повторяете.
You repeat that at every meeting.
I like it.
That was a famous, I mean, you've seen that clip or heard that phrase, right? When Reagan said that, trust but verify. Well, he's dealing with the communist leader, right? I think that's probably a right given practice that you keep verifying with the communists. But this speaks to something that's even evident in our culture today about this lack of trust, that we're always verifying, we always have an angle at somebody. We always think, man, that person's sketch. So they come up to you and someone says, hey, I'm going to give you $50. Well, what's their angle? I don't trust them. You know, Tim comes over to me and says, hey, you know, Dan, I'm gonna bring you some great farm eggs and some farm bacon. I'm like, well, what's his angle? Can I trust that? You know, is it GMO? Is it organic? I don't know. You know, was Tim trying to get me, you know, free labor out of me? I don't know. What's he trying to get out of me? We always have this desire to verify and not believe and not trust that maybe someone has our best interest in mind, or maybe they're trying to do something for the good of us, right out of a good heart. Recently here, 2013, well, a few years ago, Secretary of State John Kerry, He was in Ghouta, Syria, and he said this. He said, President Reagan's old adage about trust but verify is in need of an update, and we have committed here to a standard that says verify and verify. And in this speech, if you watch it, he goes on to say, we're not even going to trust you. We've got to verify everything. He already says, you already assumed you're guilty, you're evil, you're wrong, and we can't even give even a 1% of trust. In 2016, Bitcoin, you've probably heard of Bitcoin, and blockchain, they made a t-shirt for the 2016 Bitcoin workshop that said, don't trust, but verify. And this is just something that they were trying to do a kind of tongue-in-cheek play on words about blockchain networks that have to verify stuff, verify pieces of information. And then lastly, in 2013, Reader's Digest, this is really interesting, they did a poll of the top 100 trusted people in America. And guess who the top two people were? It's on your screen. Tom Hanks and Sandra Bullock, movie actors. Top two trusted people in America. And when do you think a spiritual faith leader came up? Number 67th on the list, Billy Graham. And then after that, there was one or two other faith Christian leaders, but they weren't pastors. They were more kind of nonprofit organizational leaders. That's sad, church, that our culture doesn't even, the culture thinks a movie actor, and nothing wrong, Tom Hanks seems like a good guy, might be trustworthy, but the church is not higher on that list. That's concerning. So love always trust but verify. Where do we go with this? 1 Corinthians 13:7, which I mentioned, it says it, which is love, it always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always persevere. Boy, this seems like a big mandate from our God. Sometimes I don't want to hope in people. I don't want to persevere. Sometimes I don't want to protect some people. Some people I think, you know what you got coming to you. Good riddance. You know, don't let the door hit you on the way out. You know what I mean? Kind of mentality. I'm not going to love that person or protect them. But God calls us to always love, always trust. It seems like a lot of people are having a hard time trusting. And so my question for us as we get into here, we're going to read 1 John here, is this. How do we trust someone? Have you ever struggled with trusting someone? Maybe someone has deeply hurt you. Maybe someone has committed an atrocity against you. But how do you love someone? How can we trust the schemer, someone that's always scheming? You ever met somebody that's a schemer in your family? How do you trust a thief? How do you trust our spouse? A murderer, a liar, our boss? Boy, here we go. Now we're getting real. The doubter, the loan shark, elected officials. I am one of them. The God hater. Or how do you trust God himself? Maybe you're struggling with that, trusting God for the situation you're in right now. Trust is a big thing. In Scripture, the Israelites struggled with trust. They didn't trust God that he would provide. They said, hey, can we go back to Egypt? Because Egypt looks a lot better. It's more secure. God, we're not going to trust you. God said, Israelites, I'm your God. They said, no, we don't trust you, God. We want a physical king. And what happened? Calamity, death, everything happened there. Trust is central to our tenet as a disciple of Jesus. In Psalms 27, it says this. It says, some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God. Psalms 37, 5 through 6 says, commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him and he will do this. He will make your righteousness shine like the dawn, your vindication like the noonday sun. Psalms 91, 2 says, I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Love is to trust, and to trust shows our love for God. It's together there. It's hitched together. Today, I believe God's calling you and I out into the waters of trusting him, out into a great journey, but we have to trust him. How many of you are going through something? Maybe you'd say, I'm going through something, Pastor Dan, and my trust in God's being tested. It's being maybe refined, we would say. It's strengthened. Let's read here. Let's read 1 John here, 4, 7 through 21. It's going to be on your screen as well here, but turn with me, and we'll be reading out the NIV here. Remember, this is John, the apostle, writing, right, to the church. It's all about love. And let's listen. Let's hear what the Word of God says here. It says, dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. Come on, that's enough to stop there. This is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us and his love is made complete in us. Verse 13, this is how we know that we live in him and he in us. He has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in them and they in God. And so we know and we rely on the love God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God, and God in them. This is how love is made complete among us, so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment. In this world, we are like Jesus. Verse 18, there is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. We love because he first loved us. Amen. Whoever claims to love God yet hates a brother or sister is a liar. Scripture is very clear. Stop there, church. If you hate your brother or sister, Scripture doesn't mince words. You're either in, you're out. That's a hard truth for some of us here maybe today. For whoever does not love their brother or sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. And he has given us this command. Anyone who loves God must also love their brother and sister. Let's take a moment. Let's pray. Father, in these next few moments, please speak to us your word. Speak to every heart, mind, and soul here what you want us to hear and take away. We thank you that Jesus, that you speak to us. You rebuke us. You correct us. You teach us. You encourage us. You strengthen us. And you never leave us how we are, how we were, but you change us so that we become more like you, Jesus, and we shine like you. And we say thank you that you love us. Thank you that you love us, God, and that you sent your son for us, and that we can rely on your love, Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen and amen. That's a very big passage here. Now, we're not going to be able to go through all of it, but I wanted to read that greater portion so we get a good bookends of what love is and what Scripture says about love. Because a lot of times, have you ever heard, oh, God is love? How many of you heard that, right? It gets preached. God is love. Woohoo, man, that preaches. Woo, we can fill a crowd with that. But this Scripture portion has a lot more to do about God is love, .. But he requires us to show love and trust to one another and to turn that, you know, turn it around and show that. And that's the harder part for us. I mean, I think most of us are like, man, we are thankful for God's love. We've all experienced his love and his power and his grace. But to show others love shows our commitment to Jesus. And that's the hard part to get to. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says this, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. Today what we're going to do is this. We're going to take this verse from Proverbs, and we're going to juxtapose this against this these verses here in 1 John 4, 7 through 21. The ancients would take, even if we see it in the New Testament, Jesus did this in the apostles, they would take a portion of Scripture and then explain it with other Scripture and walk people through it. And as we say, Scripture interprets Scripture, right? Not Pastor Dan, not a good commentary, but Scripture interprets Scripture here. And so let's break this verse down. How do we practically live out this proverb? And how do we live out love? If God loves us and calls us to love, how do we show love, always trust, and how do we trust God to be in us and protect us when we know that, man, this world is rough and people can be evil? How do we enact this command and be faithful to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, who says, hey, you don't get to choose my commands. I command this. I command you to love. So let's dive in this here real quick here. First is this. I got four quick points. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Look at verse 10 here. This is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. I would submit to us today that we can trust God because he initiated relationship with us first. He sent us first. We can trust in him. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. If God sent his son and if he made a plan to redeem us, we can trust him, church. This isn't hard. This isn't like, you know, advanced physics stuff. God loved us, cared for us, sent a son for us. We can trust in him. Thus, we can trust in him. Love means giving first even when it's not fair. God gave first. Even while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Man, that's not a fair deal. But Christ said, you're worth it, and he went ahead of us. God made a plan to redeem us. And so my question for us here in the first point is, what percentage of your heart trusts God right now? Or maybe in the situation you're in, how much of your heart trusts God, is trusting God with all your heart? It's easy to do lip service in here on Sunday morning, but in your heart of hearts, in your mind, tomorrow when you're facing that situation, is your heart all in for Jesus? And are you trusting with all of your heart? Because God loved you first. He loved you first. It's easy to trust when we know we're fully loved, right? How many of you is easy to love someone when they're nice to you? It's a lot easier to give. It's a lot easier to put up with someone's idiosyncrasies. It's a lot easier to put up with your spouse or your kids when you know they love you. At least they're kind to you, right? You're like, okay, I can deal with that. But God didn't just, you know, show us a little love. He gave us extravagant love and sent Jesus to redeem us so we can trust him. Number two here, lean not on your own understanding. Let's look at verses 13 and 16 here, the first John passage. He says, this is how we know that we live in him and he in us. He has given us of his spirit. And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. God is love. Man, how many of you today are relying on God's love? Sometimes in the church, sometimes we rely about, you know, white knuckling it and making sure we're just good, and, you know, versus we can rely on God's love. Scripture's clear. Man, we can sit back and take a breather. God loves us. He loves us enough not to leave us where we were, but to change us and to transform us. Lean not on your own understanding. We can rely that the Spirit's going to guide us. Remember, John 14 talks about how the Spirit brings the thoughts of God to us. If God loves us enough to send the Spirit to remind us of his words and his thoughts and his commands in Scripture, then boy, we can sit back and realize that we don't have to be the smartest apple in the bunch, right? All right? A lot of you in here are super smart. Praise God. You're a lot smarter than old Pastor Dan here. And that's great. But even of us that we'd say, yeah, I'm smart. How many of you ever felt dumb in your life? Or you faced a situation in your life, you felt dumb. And some of you here are brilliant. There's times in my field, I think, ooh, I know a lot of stuff. I'm educated. And there's times I feel like a dumb rock out there. Like, I'm like, oh, Lord, what do we do in this situation? But when we know that the Spirit was given out of love, we can lean not on our own understanding. And we can sit back and be like, you know what? God said I can rely on his love because God is love. His love is there to take us from what we don't know to what he knows and to impart and implant his knowledge into us through the Spirit. And we know that God is love because, as verse 13 says, because he gave his Spirit, and the Spirit lives inside of us. Isn't that great love that God didn't say, hey, you know, Jesus, come back with me, and I'll just leave those creations by themselves for the next few thousand years. Just whatever happens, happens, you know. Sarah, sarah, doesn't matter. No, Jesus said, my Father and I give you the Spirit out of love to be with you, to guide you, that you're not orphans. He is with us. And I'm going to encourage us today, don't give the enemy credits for your thoughts or for ideas. Give it to Jesus. Give it to the Holy Spirit. Because God said, I love you and I sent my Spirit to you. Don't just give the enemy credit to be like, oh, I thought of this. Or, boy, I'm sure glad I read that book. No, God directs your steps. He guides your thoughts. Whatever you're learning, students in here, whatever you're learning, or if you're in college, or if you're, you know, adults and you're reading, you're growing in your vocation, or reading a book, God weaves your life to learn these things because he loves you. And the Spirit is leading you to teach you and to guide you. And I want to end this question, and point two is this: who are you relying on? Who are you relying on today? Now, I know a lot of us, we say we rely on God, but are you truly relying on him today and relying on his love for us? For all of us, that should be a big sigh of relief. Woo! It's not of my works. It's not how good I am. I don't have to rely on the government. I don't have to rely on my job. God loves me, and I can rely on his love. And if he sent his son, he's gonna take care of me. He's gonna provide for me. Just like Jesus said, why do you worry when God clothes you in more splendor than King Solomon or the lilies of the field? God loves you here today. And today I'd hope that you would squash that talk of the enemy in your mind and your heart, that God isn't, oh, he's not good, or he's not gonna show up in your life. Today, leave no doubt and walk in the presence of God that he loves you. Number three here, in all your ways acknowledge him. Look at verse 7 and 8 here. John writes, dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. Man, some of us don't like that verse. Some of us, we want to be Christian intellectuals. We want to have good attendance, show up, raise our hands. But to love actually shows the allegiance, shows the life change. That's a hard one. In all your ways acknowledge him. I love it in the Bible. If you did a Bible study, a word study of all, the word all is used a lot in Scripture. And today we sing, God, I give you all of my heart. God says you have to love all. You have to love all. And that wasn't a cute Jimmy Buffett, you know, saying or T-shirt. God is the original author of that. Love all, serve all. And right here we remind ourselves in all of our ways, we have to love people. And love God, because the manner in which your life acknowledges this is the manner of which people see the transformational power of Jesus in your life out there in the community. It's easy, you know, if you go out and I love just these three, and I love Joel and Ron and Sean, but you guys over here, I hate you and despise you and don't forgive you. Yeah, Tim, right? Tim starts crying, right? The world just showed that the world sees that I have partiality. And what does Jesus say? What did Jesus say? You can show no partiality. God doesn't play favorites, but we are commanded to love For whoever does not love does not know God. I just told this, the world over here, I just told them that I don't know God by my love. Now, that's a hard thing to swallow sometimes, but in all of our ways, we have to acknowledge him. Love always trusts. It's willing to give the benefit of doubt. It's willing to show love. Even if I know Tim here and Joe, boy, there's some ornery fellows over here. But I'm supposed to, yeah, you're both pointing to each other. But I'm supposed to love these two and trust them. I may get burned. I may get made fun of. I mean, Tim may come over and just punch me and dog cuss me. I don't know. You know, steal all my stuff, steal all my hogs and all my organic eggs and all this stuff. But God says I'm supposed to extend trust. I'm supposed to extend love. Now, where there's wisdom, right? Don't cast your pearls before swine. Be innocent as a dove, wise as a serpent. There's wisdom. But I can't stand from a de facto point. Nope, but yes. Nope, but yes. It has to be yes and yes. God, give me wisdom how to love. How do I acknowledge you, Jesus, in all my ways when I go out? And this right here, John reminds the young church, if you don't show love, you don't know Jesus. You don't prove God the Father is true. Can you today trust God when he asks you to go love that one person? Can you trust God today? Can you fulfill his command where it says love always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres? Can you trust God enough to love that one person in your life? Who is the one person in your life that you just, you know, as the old, who is the guy, the honeymooners, you know, pow, right in the kisser. You just want to just hit somebody right in the mouth. They just tick you off. They grind you the wrong way. You just cannot stand that person. Can you love the one? Because Jesus loved the one, you and I. And he came for the lost sheep of Israel. Came for that one sheep. Came for the one today. It's a hard thing, church. And a lot of us sometimes we say, well, Pastor Dan, I'll give him the word. I'll give him the plan of salvation. I'll give him, you know, what the Bible says. But I'm not loving that joker. I'm not going to show up and give him anything extra. No, you prove this to be true and transformational by your love for that person, for that one in your life. Lastly here, and he will make your path straight. Trust in the Lord with and lean not in your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. Look at verse 18 here, John writes. He says, there's no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear because fear has to do with punishment. I would suggest today that fear creates crooked paths in our life. Fear and not loving others creates a crooked path in your life, in your mind, in your soul, in your expression towards others that leads us down paths that are not good for us, paths of evil and destruction. For there is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear because fear has to do with punishment. A lot of times I when we don't want to love people, we're afraid of the punishment. We're afraid of what's going to come back to us, the retribution. I would humbly submit. Maybe not always, but a lot of times we're fearful, right? I've been fearful. I mean, sometimes fearful, even sharing your faith, right? Your fear. If I go up and I try to share with someone in the public about Jesus, there's a fear, right? How many of you are fearful sometimes? Are they going to reject me? Are they going to make fun of me? Are they going to say, that's old. I'm that Jesus freak kind of guy. And, you know, we're fear of that punishment or retribution or that disapproval or not being reciprocated. But if we're to rely on God's love, then anything we get from people, shake it off. Shake it off. Why do we let that? Why do we bring that upon us? Why do we put that fear and rejection and punishment on us when God has clothed us with robes of righteousness? When we can rely on his love, and Jesus said, "What he goes, I love you. I didn't come to condemn you. I came to redeem you. The world might be saved through me." God says, "I love you," and you can know that I love you. We can rely on that. So when we go down, when we don't love people, when we begin to have fear. And start thinking, well, that person they don't deserve it. And I start fearing this person. I'm not going to show them love, and I back off. We get crooked in our pathways, and we get away from the heart of Jesus. When fear drives us to insulate ourselves, destruction and death happen. When fear, when we think, well, you know, I don't need to show this person love. I don't need to trust or protect or hope. Man. What happens to our lives? Our worlds get small and our lives get dark and dingy and things happen and we get all twisted up and we get the lies of the enemy in our mind and we insulate ourselves and people don't see the gospel through us and God's power shining through us when we fear and when we take a crooked path of not loving others. But perfect love drives out fear. Are you relying and allowing God's perfect love to drive the fear out of your life today And then out of that fear being driven out of your life, you go out and you show love to others through trusting them, through protecting them, through hoping and persevering with people, even when they've done you wrong. We have to today, we have to trust others and we have to show love to one another. Trusting does give someone the opportunity to hurt you. Loving others gives them, Hunter, hear me clear, gives someone else, it gives them the opportunity to hurt you. I mean, if you've been married, you know that one's true, right? You have kids, you know that's true. You've been involved in the world. If you've just been a human and living anywhere in Siouxland, you've probably experienced that. But can they really hurt us? Like I said, when we have the ultimate source of love, what is the person's hurt to us? It can, in a sense, right? It can make us sad, right? When your spouse doesn't love you or something happens or someone does you wrong, that can hurt and there can be heartache and pain. However, how far does that heartache and pain penetrate into the soul, into your mind? As one pastor says, you know, don't let anything, you know, go inside of the deep cores of you that doesn't go through the filter of Scripture first. God says, I love you. You can rely on my love. You are my beloved. You're called. You're special. And sometimes loving does hurt. Jesus was rejected a lot of times. But Jesus didn't, you know, back away and say, all right, forget you, everybody, you know, I'm done with this. He still gave and he emptied of himself. Trusting others is the only path forward if we claim to know God. If you're here today and you say, Pastor Dan, I believe in God. He's the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus is my Savior. I've been redeemed. I've been reborn in him. You have to trust. You have to love. Love always trusts. You have to extend to others the benefit of the doubt. With wisdom and guidance of the Holy Spirit. Let's make that caveat. You have to. You just can't keep it here all your life. You got to keep it here and then grow and grow and grow and grow and trust. And that, you know, that passage in 1 Corinthians there. But there's a band, you probably heard of it, For King and Country. They have a song called Fix My Eyes. How many of you have heard this song? They go through, and here's the one of the lyrics here. He says, I'd love like I'm not scared. Give when it's not fair. Live life for another. Take time for a brother. Fight for the weak ones. Speak out for freedom. Find faith in the battle. Stand tall above it all. Fix my eyes on you. They're talking about, of course, that scripture. Fix, you know, your eyes on the finisher and author of our faith. Loving and trusting others is going to take a mentality like this. I'm going to love like I'm not scared. I'm going to love like I'm not going to be fearful of the retribution or the punishment or that person's rejection. Or no matter what my brother Tim would do to me, I'm going to love because God says, yeah, you're like, yes. God says, if you don't love, you don't know me. And if you don't show love, you're not my son or my daughter. Fix my eyes on you. To love and to trust others, we have to fix our eyes on God's love and rely on his love. Our gaze has to be solely fixed on him and nothing else because that's what's going to keep us. And in these lyrics here, this all talks about giving of us, emptying ourselves, just like Christ did. He didn't consider it equal with God, but he emptied himself. He came and he gave. And loving like God wants us to love is going to take an emptying of ourselves. It's going to be hard. It's going to mean dying to ourselves, church. And loving when it's not fair, when we're scared, when we're not going to get that return on investment we want. Man, we're going to pour into that person. I'm going to pour into that person. You're not going to get anything back. You're going to trust them, and they're going to lie to you. They're going to cheat against you, steal from you maybe. Who knows what's going to happen? But love always trusts. And if we, when we don't trust and when we become fearful, we go down the crooked paths of bitterness and envy and just resentment. And what does that lead to? It leads to death. And that doesn't lead to the life of Christ has for us. 1 John 3:14 says this as I close. We know that we have passed from death to life because we love our brothers. And anyone who does not love remains in death. Woo-hoo. I mean, boy, the Bible is a double-edged sword, lightsaber sword. Cuts to the soul, straight down to the bones, church. And I want to end on this. This is a sobering point. If we don't love the word of God, God's word says we remain in death. Not Pastor Dan, not the Assemblies of God's word, not a church here in Siouxland. God says if you don't love one another, you remain in death. That's a hard one to sober and to swallow sometimes. But I want to encourage us today, if you love, if you rely on God's love, we've crossed over from death to life. And my prayer for each one of us here today, church, is that you learn to trust. You learn to love when it's not fair. You learn to give. And that through it all, you fix your eyes on Jesus. And you live out that love is patient, love is kind. It does not envy, it does not boast. It's not self-seeking, right? It doesn't keep a record of wrong. It always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres, always protects. Love never fails. These three things remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. For God so loved the world that he what? Came and he gave his son. Church, we're called to love. And to love means to trust. And to trust also means to love. We have to trust God and love him. It's a hard thing today, but church, our world needs us, the beacons of light of Jesus, to go out and show them what it means to be undercutted, to be done wrong, done dirty, but to still love and trust, to not keep it a record of wrong. That's hard. Can I raise my hand? There's some things I want to hold a grudge about. There's people in the government I don't want to love, right? There's people in our community, boy, I'd like to just give them one good punch in the face and be like, sit down, brother, sit down. Know your role. But if we do that, what happens? Jesus is tarnished and diminished. The word of God gets trampled upon. And then I just proved this, that I don't know. I never knew God in the beginning. Yeah, I'm a pastor, look nice, dress nice, raise my hand nice, but that doesn't mean jack. I just proved to the world that I am nothing in him. But today, go out in the power of love and might. Go out in the power of his love. And show the world that you've crossed over, that you're not dead, dry bones just walking around. You're not zombies out here in Siouxland. But you are alive. You're really alive in Jesus. And we're going to love people. Now, it's not going to be easy, right? Some of you are walking through some hard battles right now where, yes, some people have to earn some trust. There's sometimes earning trust back, but you have to be willing. You can't have the hard hands up. You have to be willing, palms open to Jesus and open to your brothers and sisters for redemption, restoration in that. So let's pray, and let's ask God to flow through us out of deep love and ask God to help us go out and show love to Siouxland. God, we come before you, and we say thank you for your word. Thank you that, God, that your word is trustworthy. That, God, that you loved us so much to give us your written word, your revelation of who you are. And, God, we're so thankful that, God, you don't condemn us. Even with some of these hard truths, you do not condemn us. But you come and you live inside of us so that we can live out your word through the power of the Spirit. And we ask you, Holy Spirit, to live inside of us, breathe inside of us. Help us live out your commands to show the world that you're a good God, that you're a faithful God, that you're a loving God, that you are holy and majestic and that, God, that there is no darkness in you, that, God, that you are, that nothing can even approach you, but that, God, you approach us first. God, help us to go out and love one another. Help us to love the one here today in Siouxland, that, God, that we just are having a hard time loving. Help us to trust and to extend trust to them, God. Help us to extend patience and mercy and forgiveness and not keeping a record of wrong or sin against them. God, help us to go out and show our allegiances to you by the way that we love one another and the way we forgive and the way, God, we love our neighbor, love our coworker, our boss, love the one that we know that's a liar or a schemer. God, or love the one who's committed crimes, God. God, we pray that we love those that are in the jail right now, God, Woodbury County Jail, that, God, they're not outside of your scope of redemption. God, may we love the politicians and those, our bosses that are wrong and maybe they are unscrupulous. God, let us love them and show love to them and show your grace extended and your forgiveness. God, we say thank you that you've for the times you've given us the ability to love and to show that, God, you have truly transformed us. God, give us more opportunities. Strengthen, God, the act of love inside of us and the ability to love others. We say thank you for all that you're doing, God, in us and through our kids and through every man and woman, boy and girl here in Siouxland that calls on your name. Thank you that, God, you are restoring Siouxland, that you are working in Siouxland, that you're doing a mighty work. And, God, we continue to pray for you to stir the Spirit up, stir up the spirit of revival and renewal, God, here in Siouxland. Do your mighty work. God, go with us today. And may we, God, may we give you praise and honor. And may we keep our eyes fixed on you, Jesus, the author and perfecter and finisher of our faith. And it's in your strong name we pray, Jesus. Amen.